good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and good early morning to our friends in Southeast Asia and New Zealand. Hi, Jack. Are you still listening down there? And all of the, Australia and Tasmania and all of our listeners down there. So I just wanted to put a big hello out there to everyone. And I certainly hope that I am on the air. My guest today is, I'm certainly hoping that I am going out over the radio because we had quite a mix-up right before we went on. My guest today is Lorraine Moray. I don't think I have to really tell you people who she is. If you don't know, you can go to Google and you can put her name, L-E-U-R-E-N, Moray, M-O-R-E-T. You'll find out everything you've ever wanted to know about her. And Lorraine, you know, I was looking up your 1,200,000 hit on Google the other day, and I did not find one negative thing about you. I know they exist because they, if you'll remember that video that you and I made up at the Presidio in San Francisco, you cannot imagine the way they try to cut you down on that video. Nothing about what you are talking about, but they don't like your hat. They don't like your clothes. They think you dress like an old lady. You were dressed fabulously that day. And so anyway, they're just little people that have to pull down others that they think are, you know, on a higher pedestal than they want to be. Anyway, Lorraine, I want to welcome you to Radio RMN. I'm sure all of our listeners would much rather that I shut up and let you start talking. We've got so much to talk about, and I do want to say that on Rumor Mill News, and I will put the link both on TalkStream Live and in the chat room, I have posted a Gwyn Tower map and a tornado, the recent tornado map. And so, Lorraine, if you wanted to start however you want to start, you go ahead, and I'm going to go get these this link posted.
Well, what I'd like to start with is pertains to the comment you just made about criticism. And I never take it personally. The only thing I'm interested in is presenting the right information to the public. I'm an educator. I'm a messenger. This has nothing to do with me or who I am or what I want or anything. I'm simply a messenger. I have no power. It's the information that has power and that is empowering to those who are interested in the information. And how they use it, what they do with it, is none of my business. I'm just putting it out there. There are many people who wander across the internet. There are buildings full of them. There are all kinds of people that are used as disinformation and counter information agents and assets. And it's the people who are speaking the truth louder and louder who are elected, who are attacked more and more. But I don't mind that. I learned from Dr. Mahathir, the former yes. Prime Minister of Malaysia, who is my greatest supporter in the world. I should say elected official who supports me in the world. And he said to me, regarding his war crimes conferences, I've been invited twice to Kuala Lumpur to the war crimes conferences, and he said he had 5,000 people there. He had a row of ambassadors behind all the speakers. It was incredible. And he said, we want everyone to come, the believers and the non-believers, the propaganda artists, all of it, we want everyone to come. He said, all reporters, all journalists are spies. We know that. And he said, we trust that the truths that are presented at these war crimes conferences will win in the end. So remember, Raylan, that truth is the daughter of time. And the interviews that I've been putting out with Alfred Weber and other people, with information about the Fukushima disaster in Japan and the aftermath and the impact of a whole nuclear war against North America, is simply fact. It's scientific fact. It's supported by data from governments all over the world who are also monitoring the radiation. And so it has nothing to do with me. I just have a unique background that helps me to present very complex science in very simple ways so that the public can understand it, and it empowers them, and it also helps them make decisions on how to protect themselves and their families and communities. So no matter what side people are on, it doesn't matter. What matters is that the truth and the power of information is allowed to be presented to the public, and what they do with it is their business. Problem with the media today, and probably always, but more so today, is that it's owned and controlled by vested interests who are carrying out global genocide. And this new weapon of mass destruction, HAARP, is a horrific weapon system, which means somebody sitting at a computer anywhere in the world can attack any country, any nuclear power plant, any part of the infrastructure, any electrical grid, any individual, anywhere in the rest of the world. So it's an invisible, hidden, extremely dangerous weapon, and we're just beginning to educate the public about it. And before I go on to talk about these tornadoes and the Gwin Towers, do you have anything to say?
No, I think that you presented what you said perfectly. There are a number of people around like you who have no ego. Alfred and his wife are two that I know of immediately. And their only job is to serve man, and I don't mean on a dinner platter, but to try to awaken people, try to awaken enough. Years ago, it was called combustive force. You know, like 25 years ago, one of my spiritual teachers referred to it as a combustive force. And if enough of us are awakened, we create that combustive force, which literally propels us out of the way of living that we are living on Earth right at the moment. And that's what, you know, Rumor Mill has continually been looking for the 100th monkey. And, of course, we have our enemies, so that, you know, the harder we collect monkeys looking for the 100th one, I guess it should be the billionth one by now, you know, we have the enemies that are doing something to us, like these wind towers and this, these tornadoes. We have more people killed in one day than have been killed anywhere since Vietnam, with the exception of the Beirut barracks bombing and 9/11 by these tornadoes. And we don't even know how many. We could have 1,000 or more people dead in these tornadoes right now. The destruction has been so horrific.
It has been so horrific. 161 tornado reports as of yesterday. 304 wind reports, high wind reports, and 178 hail reports. This is large hail, 2 inches in diameter, which is extremely destructive. So there are 643 severe weather reports in one day. And when you look at the map, which I found in the Daily Mail today in Britain, it's a newspaper that's online, and I have a geoscience background, And I look for patterns in nature and patterns in natural systems and natural phenomena. And when you look at the storm reports or the storms that are reported on this map, it's very, very interesting because there is definitely a pattern of linearity throughout the East Coast, extending even to Arkansas.
Wow.
These storms are in northeast to southwest trends. There's a linearity all across the East Coast. The whole, I would say 25% to one-third of the United States. And most of them are occurring in the South. The South is where poor blacks live. These are small farmers. These are poor people. I doubt that they've even recovered from the damage from Hurricane Katrina.
No, they haven't.
And the hurricane that occurred after that. Now, I believe this is a pattern of continuing land grabs. This is part of the food basket of the United States. And the heaviest storm damage is in that area. And what's happened is this is a wind tsunami, which is different from the water, the ocean tsunami, that wiped out about a third of the northern part of Japan because the land is low level, and that 35-foot, 31-foot tsunami just moved in over huge areas of northern Japan and flooded and destroyed and carried out a lot of trash, tsunami trash, which is now on its way across the Pacific, and all that radioactive tsunami trash, which is as big as some states in the United States, will start washing up on the west coast of North America in 3 to 5 years. What they've done is, instead of flattening this region from New York State all the way down to Mississippi, instead of flattening that with a big tsunami, because they couldn't do that on in this region, it's too far inland from the ocean, but they've done it with tornadoes and with strong winds and hail. And the photos that are on the on the Daily Mail website today of the destruction to whole cities, it looks exactly like the photos after the tsunami destroyed a third of northern Japan.
Wow.
Now, when you look at the linearity of these reported storms and you look at a map of the Gwen Towers that have been erected, there were some before the Department of Homeland Security was established. But I know a waitress who worked in Nevada, in Reno, in a casino. She was a waitress upstairs in a special room for banquets. And there were FEMA people and Homeland Security people and all kinds of these federal agency, emergency response agencies, having monthly meetings there, and she heard them talking about the Gwen Tower system. And the Gwen Towers, G-W-E-N, Gwen is an acronym for Ground Wave Emergency Network. And these transmit very, very long radio waves, and they can only travel 200 miles. Now, they were justified by the federal government saying that they were used to communicate with submarines. But since they only transmit 200 miles, and most of them are more than 200 miles from the coastline, how in the world could they be used to transmit to and from submarines? It's impossible. So there was a hidden agenda, and now we see the hidden agenda emerging, and the Gwen system is integrated with HAARP and with GPS and other aspects of weapons of mass destruction, emergency response facilities, and the military. So when you look at the Gwen Tower map and you look at the patterns of these tornadoes, windstorms, and hailstorms, the biggest clustering is in areas where the Gwen Towers are located. And even you can see a tornado that occurred on the border of Georgia, Alabama, and Florida, and it's isolated from by half the state from all the other storms. And that is the very end or the very beginning of a Gwen Tower network starting in Alabama, goes to Georgia, South Carolina, and then straight to Colorado across the Midwest. So it's pretty clear that these storms are created from Gwen Towers. And when the day before the radiation was due to arrive, it was on March 17th, the day before the radiation was due to arrive on the West Coast from the explosion of Reactor 1 at Fukushima, it arrived on March 18th. There were chemtrails all over, very, very heavy, being sprayed all over from airplanes all over the San Francisco Bay Area, which I observed. And also, the public health departments for Sonoma County and Santa Clara County, I have letters from each of them that were sent out on March 17th, day before the radiation arrived, and they ordered medical doctors in those counties, and I'm sure it was all the counties in California and probably across the United States as well. They ordered doctors not to give iodine to patients who were concerned about radiation exposure from the Fukushima aftermath. And so doctors were told not to give patients iodine. And the U.S. government confiscated supplies of iodine tablets from drugstores and other suppliers so that they wouldn't be, even be available to be ordered. So on March 18th, at 11 a.m., it was sunny that morning. At 11 a.m., suddenly the sky went completely black over the whole Bay Area, and this happened all up and down the Pacific Coast and in Arizona. And these, there was thunder and lightning, and the lights flickered. And then at 10 minutes after 11 a.m. on Friday, March 18th, TV warnings came on as torrential rains just started pouring down. All over the Bay Area, there was a huge vortex in the sky, and then the rain started. And we had 2 weeks of very, very heavy, constant rain, and it rained out all of that radiation and poisoning across the whole state of California and to the east. And we have Gwen Towers that start in Oregon and go all the way down through the whole state of California. And the rain and the storms and the lightning and that whole plan to rain out the radiation, it's the most efficient form of nuclear war, that poisoned all of the food baskets for North America, in western Canada, in the western U.S., and in western Mexico. And then currents along the coast of California carried that radiation out to Hawaii, and they're being more heavily nuked with higher levels of radiation reported in milk and drinking water and food in Hawaii than even the West Coast. So they are just below Japan in the radiation levels that are now being measured in the environment of Hawaii.
Wow.
And so that's Gwen Towers that did those storms, the rainstorms, for 2 weeks. We have 14 inches of rain on average in California every year. we were having an inch of rain an hour in some areas of California, and the highest rain out, the highest concentration of radiation measured was in Anaheim, California, down in San Diego, in Los Angeles.
And, of course, they are not telling the public anything about it. This is, I think this is the culmination of their eugenics program. Not eugenics, their
depopulation
and program.
Genocide.
Where are they going to live? Where are they going to get their food?
Oh, everybody always asks those questions. It's totally irrelevant because they don't care. They just want the money. They want the land. They want the mining. You're trying to be logical. You're projecting the values and the expectations and the belief system of ordinary people onto people who are not logical. They're illogical because they're sociopaths and they're psychopaths, and they are particularly specially chosen to be CEOs in the corporate world. Over 50% of the CEOs in the corporate world in the United States are sociopaths and psychopaths, and they've been selected because they're detached from humanity, and they can order and carry out the most horrific eugenics, depopulation, and genocide programs without having any shame or feelings or empathy or sympathy or conscience about exterminating large numbers of people.
Unbelievable. And, you know, a lot of people are born psychopaths, but what people don't know is useful people can be made into psychopaths. And I'm sure that that's what people have done with their mind control techniques, because ordinary people would not do this.
These are narcissistic people, and they can be born that way. They can be inherited personalities, but they can also be conditioned to be psychopaths and sociopaths. And it's a whole spectrum from a narcissistic personality, which as the narcissism intensifies and they become more detached from humanity, from the norms of social interaction and values and so forth, they become sociopaths, and the most extreme form are psychopaths who really, really enjoy building huge destructive nuclear weapons that kill lots of people, and Edward Teller would be a perfect example of that, and that is why he was called Dr. Strangelove. He was so crazy. He was such a psychopath that when he became director of the Livermore Nuclear Weapons Lab, he was rejected. He was thrown out of that office, removed from that office, by the objections to his style of everything he did by the scientists who worked there. And so the Department of Energy was forced to remove him from office, I think, after only 1 year. So these are very, very toxic, very lethal, very insane people.
Well, you know, I have not quite personal experience with Dr. Teller, but my husband, John, was one of his students at Berkeley. And John was working on his PhD in nuclear physics at the time, and needless to say, he was brilliant, at the top of his class. And Teller was so crazy that he was afraid that Teller was going to destroy his entire career. And he wasn't the only one.
Of course.
Everybody was afraid.
Of course.
Yeah.
He was a horrible bully, but he was a total psychopath. And so I decided to look up the backgrounds of the key scientific decision makers in the United States, starting with the Manhattan Project.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Vannevar Bush was in charge of the entire scientific effort for World War II.
And now, is he any relation to the Bush family?
No, he's not. And when I looked up his background, aha, he was sponsored and supported by the Rockefellers. Then I looked up Edward Teller. And Edward Teller, when he was a graduate student in Hungary, before he ever came to the United States, had a Rockefeller Fellowship. He was sent to Niels Bohr's lab in Denmark for 1 year, and then he got a greased ride to the United States, where he was sent to Washington, D.C., and I think he was, I forgot the university that they put him in immediately in Washington, D.C., but he had already been identified in Hungary. It had to be through some kind of a social network or an academic network, but he was cherry-picked from Hungary to be brought to the United States, and he was sent to the University of Chicago, which is Rockefeller-owned, and then he became part of the Manhattan Project, although he really couldn't do anything ever in his life very well. He always stole the work and took the credit of other people. He certainly was not the father of the hydrogen bomb. The father, or the one who made the hydrogen bomb work for the United States government, is my mentor, and his name is Marion Fulk. He's 91 years old. He lives in Livermore, and for the last 11 years, he has taught me and prepared me to talk about these horrific issues in scientific ways, and he said, you cannot make a single mistake. So, there we have Vannevar Bush, Edward Teller. Now let's look at another scientist from World War II, also World War I, James Conant. James Conant developed poison gas weapons in World War I, and that is when the poison gas program for World War I took over the entire campus of the American University in Washington, D.C., and they turned 60 university buildings into laboratories and poison gas making facilities, projects. I said, oh, okay, well, here's James Conant in World War II. He's the one who proposed developing depleted uranium as a radioactive poison gas weapon in World War II. So I looked him up. Who was his sponsor? Rockefeller. They used him for consulting during the Depression when he thought he was going to starve to death, and they paid him very well. And so he was beholden the rest of his life to the Rockefellers. So everywhere we go is the fingerprint, the thumbprint, the footprint of Rockefellers on anything having to do with weapons of mass destruction. Now, people should understand that the weapons of mass destruction are created and exist for the bankers. So this poisoning of the whole North American continent, that is by a weapon of mass destruction. That was the HAARP triggered earthquake offshore from Fukushima, followed by the Stuxnet virus, which sabotaged all of the operating systems in the Fukushima nuclear power plant so that they could not get any cooling systems, any backup systems working for more than 24 hours. In fact, all of the Fukushima reactors, all six of them, were in meltdown 90 minutes after the earthquake.
That is amazing.
And
that is amazing. 90 minutes.
90 minutes. And 90 minutes after the cooling stops, the reactors go into meltdown in any nuclear power plant. Any nuclear power plant. What?
Well, what about the three down in Alabama that have been knocked offline because of these tornadoes?
Oh, well, they have backup cooling systems that are working. But the Japanese backup systems, they could not get them working because the Stuxnet virus was in the operating system of the power plant. And so every time the operators corrected the computer code in the nuclear power plant at Fukushima, the people who put the Stuxnet virus in, who were watching everything from satellites, they just replaced the code that was fixed with the code that was sabotaged. So the operators could never get the cooling systems working.
We hope you enjoyed this free excerpt from today's program. Register to become a sponsoring member so you can hear the complete interview for any of the radio shows in our library. Just click the sidebar link and select your membership level. It's that easy.